And welcome to New Books in South Asian Studies. Your host is Tara Anjaria of Bombay, India. We will be conducting a series of interviews with authors of, new books about South Asia. History, politics, government, science, sport, art and culture, and everything else to do with what is often called the Indian subcontinent. But of course, South Asia extends beyond that. Our new books will primarily be grounded in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Bhutan, the Maldives, Mauritius, that is, the most widely accepted geographical and geopolitical definition of South Asia. But in keeping with the policies of these increasingly outward-looking nation-states themselves, we will also be looking at new books from what used to be called further India. Myanmar, Indochina, Indonesia, you get it. And we won't forget the Empire, or East Asia, or the South Asian diaspora. As you can see, at New Books in South Asian Studies, we are really most inclusive and welcoming. Today we start off with the biggest country in South Asia, India, and its most popular export, films. Our guest today is the first ever Indian to win an Oscar, Bhanu Athaiya. I'm sure Bhanu needs no introduction. Her career is analogous to that of the Indian film industry in all its forms from the 1950s down to today. And, happily, she has put her most memorable moments of her life and career, again the distinction between the two blurs, into a glorious book, The Art of Costume Design. She'll be discussing the book and her life and work with us today.
So, good afternoon, Bhanuji.
My name is Bhanu. I was born in Kolhapur, a princely state in Maharashtra, way back. In that era, Kolhapur was a flourishing town, and I can say safely, I had the advantage of being born in the right place at the right time. Being a princely state, there's a lot of grandeur, festivities of every kind happening. Every morning on my way to school, I would see elephants, horses, and the pageantry that was there in every festival. The life of that place was so varied. When I left the house, first I would have to go through the temple, ancient temple of Mahalakshmi, and I could hear the chanting of the bells, the people dressed up to go to the temple to seek the blessings of the gods and goddesses. And that set a kind of a very interesting tone to my going to the palace, which was next on my route to the school, where I saw, as I said, the grandeur of the princely state. So all that help me to move from one thing to another. And every day was full of excitement. In school, I studied in Marathi language. And I spent a lot of time in my art school after schooling time. And I took to art quite seriously. But the beginning for that was from my home. My father, he belonged to the Pandit family. ancient Pandit family whose roots go back to hundreds of years, but he took to studying English in the university. And instead of studying Sanskrit, he preferred to take to arts seriously. He would come to Bombay, go to the Army Navy stores, bring back with him number of books on European art, like Rembrandt, Leonardo da Vinci, name it. He had all those books in his studio. For me, they became my fascination. They were my inspiration. I would look at these books. Then I saw my father do paintings. There was a painting of the horses being washed in the brook, Constable. And I saw that painting grow from start to finish. I would wash the brushes. And that is where I got hooked onto taking painting very seriously. In Kolhapur, one saw a number of painters sitting in the scenic spots of the temple or in the riverside, propping up their easels and doing paintings in watercolor and or in oils. So again, that was another inspiration I found, which appealed to me a great deal. My father was very keen that all of us take to some creative activity seriously. One of my sister took to music. My father taught my mother to do excellent embroidery. So there was art and this creativity around in the house all the time. Then in Kolhapur, being a princely state, there was a lot of patronage available. One could go and see a lot of activities happening. There was wrestling, other sports like cricket happening there. There was music. The Maharaja of Kolhapur had brought the famous musician from Bombay, Aladia Khan Sahib, and his students followed his gharana music. That was again another creative activity I was able to witness. At the Palace Theatre, one saw some very good plays happening. In my time, Uday Shankar had come to Kolhapur. Then there was a very famous theatre personality, Bal Gandharva. He used to have his musical plays performed there, a man dressed like a woman and with all the gentle mannerism of a woman and a very melodious voice. He captivated the hearts of the audiences. The play would begin at around 9 o'clock in the evening, and it will go on till about 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, with a number of encores being given by the audience. It was one of the most talked about plays one had seen. I had witnessed this myself. So there's such a lot of activities happening. Not to forget cinema. Baburao Painter was the doyen of Marathi cinema. He produced more than 25 films in Marathi. He trained a number of actors who came to Bombay later on and again made a name for themselves. My father made a film called I forget the name of that, but he made a film. And so I was watching films being made in front of me and familiarity in the technique of making a film dawned on me that time itself. I had done a small role of a boy prince for my father's film. So with so much exposure to variety of creativity, life offered me a lot of opportunities to see and absorb a great deal. When I finished my schooling, in my final exam exhibition, I had presented 3 very good drawings, pencil drawings, which became talk of the town, and I won 3 awards for that from the British regent, Honorable Mr. Perry. He gave me the awards. My teacher was so pleased with my achievement. Next day he went to my mother and said, "Your daughter has got talent. I am taking her to Bombay to study at the JJ School of Art." So that was the next step happening in my life. But the problem was, I had no relations in Bombay. And where to go and stay in Bombay was a big problem for me. I wrote a letter to Hema Devi, the doyen of theatre training from Bombay, who had studied in National School of Drama in London. I'd met her in Bombay, in Kolhapur briefly, and I wrote to her if I could come and stay with her for a few days. And she says, "Yes, you're most welcome to come and stay with me." So my ambition of going to Bombay was fulfilled to her giving me this opportunity to come to Bombay and stay with her. So staying with her, that was one thing, but another door opened for me. With my ability to sketch well, her mother, Meera Devi, she was working as a assistant editor for India's first woman's magazine called Fashion and Beauty. She saw my sketches and she says, "I'm going to take you to the editor of this magazine. I'm sure he will want to give you a job." So when I met him, he surely gave me a job to be a fashion illustrator for his magazine. So one thing led to another. Very soon, I got another opportunity to work on a much bigger magazine called Fashion and Beauty. It was still the Raj period. I was still there in Bombay, in that early part of Bombay, where we were still under the British influence. But very soon, the independence was about to be noticed in India, and I was told that I should do my sketches for this magazine to inspire the young ladies of that era with the ideas drawn from Indian heritage as the British Raj was over. For me, it was an exciting time for me. With my exposure to art and culture I had seen in Kolhapur, there was no dearth of ideas. My mother was very good with embroideries, so all the books that she used to have to draw inspiration from, I had brought them to Bombay. So for me, doing those pages every Saturday not only gave me the thrill of doing something creative, but these sketches became talk of the town the Indian readers fell for them, and they waited for the Saturday to come. Very soon, the actors and actresses of Indian cinema, they also noticed what I have been doing on those magazines, and they came looking for me. They said, will you design something for our films? So there, another door opens for me. So one thing led to another, and life became more and more exciting as times went along. My studies for painting at the JJ School of Art also were going very well. I was doing two things at the same time, doing the illustrations and doing the paintings at the JJ School of Art, where I won the gold medal. That gold medal and my achievement in the final exam brought me to the notice of the progressive group artists, and they asked me to be a member of their group and to exhibit along with the great names like Ara, Raza, all these big names of that era. I was meeting and I exhibited my paintings there. But very soon, somehow, in my heart, I had a feeling that I was drawn to the world of cinema more than anything else. Another point that was in favor of my doing these ideas for cinema was that what I had seen from childhood, watching the cinema, the making of films and things like that, it came to me very easily. And also, I had to choose whether to be in the South Bombay, to be in the world of art and culture, or to go to North Bombay, which had all these activities of the cinema taking place. So the choice was whether to go to South or whether to go to North. Then North won my heart, and I was there working and giving my best to the films in Bombay.
So I think, would you like to talk about the early films you did in the 1950s and the people that you worked with, for example?
Yeah, of course.
Guru Dutt, for
example.
Yeah, of
course. But the flow was there?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Flow was there. Have I missed out on anything?
Oh, no. It's okay. Just a privilege.
Okay, shall I have?
Yeah, sure.
When I started my work with the cinema, I had great fortune to work with the greatest of the Indian cinema, Guru Dutt, the most talked about filmmaker. It so happened that his sister and I, we were studying together at the JJ School of Art. She was doing, in the other section, but I was in the fine arts. So we used to cross each other. Then my illustrations, which were seen every Saturday in Fashion's World for Fashion and Beauty, they got notice of Guru Dutt. And then he asked me to design costumes for Wahida, for one of the early films. That was my entry into the cinema. I did 5 films for Guru Dutt, one more interesting than the other, different subjects. And the actors of Guru Dutt, most of the time, were Wahida Rehman, who happened to be that my most favorite heroine of that era. Her film in Kagaz Ke Phool, her film in Chaudhavi Ka Chand, a film in Sahib Bibi Ghulam, each different character that she played became my inspiration. Along with her, there was another actress who left a great impression on me. That was
Meena Kumari.
Yes. I cannot forget Meena Kumari. Most beautiful actress of that era. Not only beautiful to look at, but her mannerism, her voice, the gestures, they are deeply printed in my mind. She really inspired me to do my best work for her in Sahib Bibi Ghulam. Only thing, when I met her first time, she said, "Bhanu, just take care of me. These Bengali saris have a way of looking fluffy. You'll take care of that, won't you?" And that's all that we talked about. And her performance was my inspiration. And it did it. I did everything that was possible to make her look the right character and to help her get into the spirit of that story. That was a very fascinating experience for me. After Gurudutt, I started working with Raj Kapoor, the showman of the Indian cinema. Nargis used to come to Eve's Weekly to have embroideries done for her saris. She took me to Raj Kapoor and says, "Here is a young lady who is full of ideas. Why don't you use her for one of your movies?" So he gave me a chance to do costumes for Nadira for Shri 420, the role of a vamp. It most talked about character and most memorable character people think of when they see a film like that. For Gurudutt, I did 5 films. Each one different than the other. And everything different means a more excitement for me. For me, doing work on films like some of the outstanding films of RK gave me a scope to show my ability of being creative. The last film for which I did the work on Henna, the script by him, but finally the film was produced by his son, Randhir Kapoor, was a role of a Pakistani nomad tribe gypsies. I created the whole ambience of the gypsy clan and made outfit appropriate for that look of that gypsy clan. The most talked about film of that era. Other films which I did for Raj Kapoor again are unforgettable. There's a film called uska naam bolna chahiye, Raj Kapoor ka, where I went to Paris and I had the husband and wife go to bed. Sangam. Which I did that Buddha mil gaya.
Sangam.
Yeah. Okay. For Raj Kapoor, I did a very interesting experiment of doing costumes for Sangam. The story is that the husband and wife go to Paris, and the husband wants to go to see the Folies Bergères, but without the wife, and which of course upset the wife, He says, why do you want to go there? Let me entertain you here in the hotel itself. She pulled out things from lampshades and fabrics lying here and there. And then I made those costumes, which were talk of the town of that era. And it was, for me, it was exciting to do something different once again. Then another film for which I'm very proud of those costumes, where Shashi Kapoor and Zeenat Aman played the more important characters. She is a girl brought up in the temple. She goes for a bath to the river to take a bath in a very simple village costumes. And the actor falls in love with her. And in his imagination, he sees what this young girl would be like if she were to dress in different kinds of attires. One of them was a dress done in very brief embroidered top and a mini skirt. It is a most memorable costume of the Indian cinema. And Zeenat Aman, who had that most unique personality, beautiful proportion, she carried those costumes so well that it is an unforgettable experience to see that kind of a combination of beauty and grace with in this costume. For me, it was my greatest thrill of my life. Aur kiska bolu? Okay. Raj Kapoor is known as the greatest showman of the Indian cinema. And every film he did, there was something different than what was there in the earlier films. There is a film in Ram Teri Ganga Meli. I had done costumes for Mandakini, where the girl is taking a bath in the upper portion of the Ganges, and a young man from the city falls in love with her, and the romance develops. And he, at later stage, she comes to Ganges, and she does a dance on that Bajra, wearing exquisite dress. So the number of changes that happened in her life, I had a chance to picturize those scenes in a different kind of looks I had to present. That was again a very, very happy experience for me, from a village girl to this kind of elaborate costumes.
So
yeah, yeah. This is my favorite.
Oh, Reshma.
One of the most favorite films of mine is Reshma or Shera. When I met
Sunil Dutt.
When I met Sunil Dutt, what he said, that I want a very realistic look in the film. And I want my actors to blend with the local people. So I said, if that is so, then you must send me to the place which you are going to use as the backdrop. So he sent me to Rajasthan, and near the Pochina village, which was going to be the scene of action, I studied the costumes of the local people, the kind of ghagras, the cholis, the women wear, the dhotis, the men wear normally, what are the turbans, and for a marriage, for the wedding, for the heroine, for the every character, I did a detailed sketches what I saw. I came back, prepared all these costumes, and we all went to Pochina village. And when we dressed up the actors, the local people gave me a lot of compliments for being so authentic and so studious in my attitude. Then that film was an experience by itself. We were living in a village, and dusty village, and shortage of water. We were all given 2 buckets of water. But what an experience to be there in that ambience and to create the look of that era was a greatest experience of my life. It's unforgettable experience of my life.
So that's amazing. Please tell our listeners something about Gandhi now.
Yes, okay, yeah. Okay. I had... I had worked for nearly 20 years for Indian cinema. And at that time, I got a call from Gandhi Film Unit. And they said that we'd like to make an appointment for you to meet the director of Gandhi, Richard Attenborough. So I was given this appointment and I met him, and for about 10-15 minutes we talked, and he told the production people, well, I found my designer for Gandhi. Richard Attenborough had been visiting India for nearly 7 years before he got down to doing the film. For several reasons. First, he wanted to study India in great depth. And it was not a simple film. It was a simple about Mahatma Gandhi, the man who brought such a huge change to not only to India, to the world in his thinking. And the film covered 50-year lifespan of Gandhi. It required a huge understanding, not only of one character, but all the characters and all the people around that were seen in those 50 years that happened in that scene was not an easy task at all. Luckily for me, I have been an observer of Gandhiji right from a childhood. At the age of 8, I had done a portrait of Gandhiji. When I came to Bombay, I had heard his speech at the Brabham Stadium. We were all full of admiration for the work he was doing for the nation. So for me, to be able to have that opportunity to do something for this man was not only was a thrilling experience, but also very scaring experience for me, that would I be able to do justice to this challenge. It is easy to say that I was given 3 months time to study the film. How can anybody can study a film of that nature in 3 months time unless one had been open to this kind of a personality and all the things that he had done in his life, which I had done fortunately. And also, to understand the culture of India also became my strong point, having traveled all over India over years. It is interesting to know that how the shooting went on in the early in the morning from the hotel at 5 o'clock, we would have to jump in the car to go to the location. Be at the location at 6 o'clock, along with the catering. We were the only 2 units that were there present. then the bus loads of people will start coming to the location. And I had to stand there like a commander. And with my 9 assistants, I had to guide hundreds of people that whom I had to dress for that particular day shooting. Put them in different batches, dress them up, change their hairstyles. And it, up to 9 o'clock, we had to have all of them dressed up. Everybody is not familiar wearing dhoti in India. So one had to tie dhotis by the hundreds, thousands to get the crowd ready for that shooting. It was quite a mammoth task. Those who have seen the big Dandi March and scenes like that can see that what a precision we had to use to get everybody in order, to make sure everybody did the right thing. It was really an experience of a lifetime. And finally, when the film was released and the film went to the Oscar competition, by that time I had got the nomination. We were taken to Los Angeles to the Dorothy Chandelier Pavilion. We were 5 nominees sitting in one row, and other 4 nominees told me, he says, "Ma'am, we don't stand a chance. The Oscar is going to be yours." I said, "What makes you think?" "Your canvas was so huge." That is the thing. The canvas of Gandhi was really mind-blowing. And I found the appreciation for what I have done came by the other fellow designers from in other parts of the world. They could see what I had packed into the whole look. And people ask me, "Are you expecting an award?" Well, I said, "I don't know. I have done my bit. I hope everything works well." And that's all. So finally, I did get the award. And it was the greatest moment in my life, an unforgettable experience of my lifetime.
Okay. So that's really nice. Well, just a little bit more about Lagan and then yeah. We can just wind up.
Okay.
Into the mic.
Okay. Huh? Kya hota hai?
Your mic is going up.
Huh?
Your mic is going to your eyes.
Oh, Abhi?
But that's okay.
Okay. Okay. Lagan was a extremely interesting film. It is a film set in
1893.
Okay. Lagan was set in 1893. And it is about people who were living in central India, Madhya Pradesh. And it was about the clash between the villagers and the British regiment who was posted there to collect the lagan, that is the tax from the local people. Now, it required making costumes that would look believable in that era. So I chose to do all the costume using khadi, handspun, hand-woven fabrics, and the vegetable dyes to give that authentic look. For the Britishers, I used mainly poplins and mill-made fabrics. I had to go to London to measure all the British actors, the male and the female, who were going to participate in the film. So I showed them my plan of action. I told them what I was going to do, came back with their measurements, and prepared the entire wardrobe here in India, every inch of it. That was for me a big challenge, which I loved every bit of it. And we went on the location. We had all the regiment costumes for their day-to-day activities. I chose to do all the costumes in the khaki look because we were working on a dusty terrain and nothing else would have worked well. Then in the film, I had to design a wardrobe for their ballroom dance. And then, of course, not to forget the cricket match between the Britishers and the local people and the periphery, the British ladies and the civilians. So it was quite a number of changes I had to work. And what was very interesting for me, that I controlled every costume according to the colors I had visualized and made sure they went well and they created the look of that era. And it fetched a lot of compliments. The film went up to Oscar. We didn't get the award, but it was complimented in a big way for creating the look of the period, the variations between the local costumes and the British costumes was greatly admired all over the place. The film, I think, owes a lot in achieving the look of that era.
That was, See, for people like me, you know, Lagaan is actually, it was kind of a window into India.
Yeah.
I mean, before I saw Lagaan, okay, I didn't know anything about rural India.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is like, you could say, you just made a lot of people aware about things that they would not otherwise have thought about, you know.
Yeah.
So I say that your work has had a lot of, broad impact.
You see that film on that platform.
Yeah.
That was the thing, you know.
Yeah.
And well-made film.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, see, in India, half a dozen people contribute to one film.
Yeah.
It's a hodgepodge. So you don't get that, the look, which I achieved because of my wide experience, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that I was able to say. Anything else you want me to say?
What are your future projects? I mean, where do you see Indian cinema going now in terms of like the design, the costumes? I mean, what are the primary influences in Indian cinema today?
You know, today actually it's not very interesting in a sense, you know. You know, what happens, 10 people contribute for one film. I'm the only one who controls the whole thing.
Yeah.
And there are one or two other designers who have done it, you know. That is the most important thing, you know. So why should we say bad things, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's
true. Yeah, you know. Anything else? Any other film that you want me to talk about?
No, not really. We are, it's been very nice, like, you know, for our readers to listen to this. And
shall I say about little bit about what other activities I do?
Sure, definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of sentences so we can find out.
I have been working mainly in the mainstream cinema. But apart from that, I've also worked on quite a few Marathi films. Marathi is my mother tongue. And so for me, working on Marathi film was another experience again, you know. And somehow people like me to do films that have control of a period look. Because I have that kind of ability to visualize the whole story from A to Z. A film like Yas Parva of Amol Palekar. It is about Dhondo Keshav Karve's era. His son was a pioneer in family planning. And the changes in that 50-year span to show the change of costumes that happened in the Marathi scenario was very interesting, very challenging. I mean, I couldn't go over the board. It had to be very, very natural looking attires I had to take care of. Dress up actors to look right. It's a very interesting experience for me. Then I have done another film, Katha Don Ganpat Ravanchi, for again another well-known filmmaker of Maharashtra. So somehow ability to control the whole look of a film, according to me, is able to create a very smooth picture and to make the story move smoothly. And I find this a very interesting thing to do. I also work for theater. I've done a number of theater projects. One was for the National School of Drama, a film called Jaane Man. It is about the Hijras of Bombay, enacted by all the actors from the National School of Drama. And playing the role of Hijras was a very interesting experience to work on. The Hijras, they wear women's style of clothes, but they have the bodies of men. That was the challenge. And they have the very feminine mannerism. So it was a very, very peculiar kind of a demand. But the film turned out very well. And it was again a great experience for me. And the audience was totally enamored with the whole look that we were able to create.
So, Fox, that was a fascinating insight into the life of Bhanu Athaiya, an enriching listening experience for historians and fans of cinema alike. I hope you enjoyed it. Goodbye.